for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. Christmas morning edition. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Mm. Merry Christmas, shorty.
Absolutely. Happy that you unwrapped this box. Here's your gift. Enjoy. I feel good to be here on this.
Who was that?
Hey, whoever popped,
here's your gift.
Whoever popped the box. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We're happy to be here on this day that you're actually listening, or whenever you're listening. We still festive. We in the moment with you. Some Christmas cheer. It's the end of the year. It's cold as fuck outside. But you know what? I think at the end of the year, at the end of a decade also, but at the end of 2019, we figured, you know what? What's a good present to give than to just take a look at the past?
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Did you freak? Did you peep that punnet tree? That little punnet tree? Yeah, so we wanted to just review, just take a look at the year in review and, you know, isolate some moments, you know?
Yeah, these are the conversation moments.
In the conversation, yeah, in review, the conversation moments. Moments of conversation. Mr. Muhammad, why don't you take us into this moment?
Well, hello, people. This is Ali Muhammad, as you know.
Very formal.
No doubt. What we're going to do here is we're going to take a look at, you know, the year in review. We have some categories here, you know. Some of the conversational shifters, you know, cultural moments, best food trends, the regular award, you know, movie of the year, TV moments of the year, you know what I'm saying? Basically, the people who had the biggest come up, you know what I'm saying? The upness awards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going to take it from, you know, we're gonna take that and bang out.
Let's get to it.
You know what I'm saying? So I think we start this whole thing off with who were some of the biggest conversation shifters this year.
Okay. Who you thinking? Who you got?
Well, I mean, you have a lot of people that probably fall across a few of these different categories. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as driving conversation this year, I think I would really look at people like Kanye, Cap. All the black quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
And Meg Thee Stallion.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, of course, we know Meg. She took over the whole summer, you know, and it gave it a theme for the women. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was a hot girl summer. Mm-hmm. And not to be taken lightly, because, you know, not only did she coin the phrase and run with it and get people to participate in it, she trademarked it, she owns it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She made it a whole moment.
Right.
The 360 moment where, you know, she can cash in from it as it moves forward. You know, she built the whole brand off of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She made herself come from relative, you know, local fame to a global phenomenon.
Absolutely. Driving the boat. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, she definitely... spearheaded an exuberant performance of being in the moment. You know what I mean? It was a lot of let's go all out. Let's get, you know what I mean? It was hot girl summer. It was something.
And it wasn't just even being in the moment. It was drawing people into the moment.
Like, true,
you know what I'm saying? No, wherever she went, you know what I'm saying? You got drawn into this whole thing.
Right.
And next thing you know, you got the damn Ducey pouring down your throat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, had that been anybody else, it might have been a problem, but you know what I'm saying? But it's like you look up and you swallow it in cognac.
Exactly.
Straight from the bottle.
Exactly. that's coming through kind of abruptly.
Forcefully,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's so, not a baby sip.
Not too many people could pull that off in this day and age.
And her twerk action is quite, what's the word? Phenomenal type, you know what I mean? Very, It's up there. You know what I mean? It's a lot of women that praise her knees.
Yeah, her knee game has created a whole life of their own.
Derrick Rose would love to have those knees. You know, those are hardy knees.
I used to have knees like that.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, everybody used to have knees like that. She got peak knee game. Shout out to Meg Thee Stallion. So you said Meg Thee Stallion, all the black quarterbacks, Kaepernick.
Kaepernick, you know, leading the conversation around it.
Uh-huh.
Around just, you know, mm-hmm. the NFL, you know, and all that he's, you know, stood for, and the whole trials and tribulations,
yes.
and the collusion and the social justice component around it. And then, you know,
it's activism.
It's activism, and, you know, the whole conversation around, is he worthy of being in the NFL right now? You know, it's you know, definitely less talented quarterbacks per se, according to the conversation, that, you know, he could feel at least a second man on somebody's roster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time that conversation is happening, you have guys like Lamar Jackson
lighting it
changing up. The quarterback game as far as how the conversation goes about quarterbacks and black quarterbacks in specific.
Right. Well, what do you think of I've also heard people saying it's like the, not to minimize Lamar Jackson's his wave, but there's people feeling like it's like the second coming of Mike Vick. Also in the way that it's the second coming of Mike Vick, and I think extended on to that, I think there's the vindication of Mike Vick at a certain level, like, because, you know, Mike Vick, I don't know if you saw when he when Lamar Jackson beat his record, you know, he shouted him out immediately from the man cave or whatever, but it was like there's still a lot of people that are still, you know, trying to persecute Mike Vick even beyond the fact that he served his time and he did all of that type of shit. So it's just like that energy, the way that motherfucker be shaking and juking motherfuckers off, and he's just a problem to where you gotta pay attention, because he could run that shit or he could just throw that shit.
Right.
He got you off balance. It kind of makes you kind of, in retrospect, for those people that were there to see Mike Vick, it's almost like not a retro, you know what I'm saying? Because he's his own man, but it was like, it brought back a little bouquet of flowers for the
cat.
Definitely.
It definitely opens up the conversation about Vick.
Especially, you know, if you're not a dog owner.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, even now, like you say, the man served his time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's worked with the Humane Society to you know, educate people on, you know what I'm saying,
right.
the ill effects of dog fighting and mistreatment of animals and stuff.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? For me, that conversation is not really on the table right now, actively.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, that's not even a part of it. As far as what Lamar is doing, is reminding us of how electric Vick was in that era.
Right.
But it's also letting us know how talented Lamar is, because even as electric as he is on his feet, he's thrown more touchdowns this year than I think Vick has in any of his seasons.
Wow.
So, you know, the cat is actually balling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's throwing it and running. You know what I'm saying?
Double threat.
So it's like he's doing it in a way where they didn't expect. You know what I mean? They didn't expect that it would beat us. You know, he came out late first round, which is not as bad as we kind of make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because we see the picture of him with his mom and his head down on the table and shit. You know what I'm saying?
What picture is this? Who's this?
It's a picture of him at the draft in his suit, and you know what I'm saying?
Looking dejected?
Yeah, he kind of looking, watching it on his phone. His mom is there. He kind of leaning into his mom, and it looks like he's, you know, he was waiting the whole first round. He was like picked the last of the first round. He was sweating. Right. But then, you know, you look at cats like Tom Brady, he was picked in the sixth fucking round.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Right. You never know.
You know, it's like, you know, it ain't as bad.
Who'd have thought?
Right.
Right.
But for him, and then it's like, you know, all these teams that picked over him, you know, he got Baltimore. But Baltimore picked over him a couple of times before they actually picked him in the, you know, the last pick of the first round. So all that for not, because he gets out there, he's handling his business. You know what I'm saying? It might be the best thing that he had that chip on his shoulder. and they got him at a price where they could afford to rebuild around his skill set. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So everything worked how it worked, and now we're getting the quality entertainment out of it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm enjoying it. Like I say, I mean, I haven't enjoyed football in a long time like that. But this season, I was ready to watch what he came to do this season.
Yeah, nah. I haven't even seen – I've yet to see a full game of him play. I've watched the clips. He's a problem. I hear the talk. You know what I mean? I feel the energy. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely – He's a phenomenon. You know what I mean?
And it's always better to watch it, you know what I'm saying,
in the game moment.
Because,
right. You
know, you can actually see the damage that he's doing on each individual little play. You know what I'm saying? They went games without punting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was like when you get to 3rd and 14 and then they, you know what I'm saying, he go for 36. Like those moments right there don't look the same in the highlights as they do
right. When
you're watching the game.
Because you ain't feeling it in that moment. Them stakes aren't, it's just out of context.
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, so that you know, he definitely, like him, you know, Mahomes, you know, a lot of all of the black quarterbacks that's doing their thing.
Mahomes is black? Dog, I'm out the loop. I'm trying to tell you, I haven't been watching. I didn't know Mahomes was black. I just found out. You know how they say on the internet, to just this moment.
My man from Dallas.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah,
is that his name?
Yeah, I
thought that was a white man. It sounds like a white man. Patrick Mahomes. It sounds like a white man.
He light-skinned it.
Okay, it sounds like a white man on paper, but I'm sorry, Pat.
He might be mixed. I don't know.
Yeah, but I didn't know that. I could have swore he was a white guy. All right, let it go.
You got my, you know, Dallas quarterback. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Oh.
Dak Prescott.
Prescott, you know what I'm saying? You got the cat and the Texans. It's a lot of cats doing their things.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
Cam Newton's hurt, right?
Cam Newton is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but they got that white running back, Run TMC. Timothy McCaffrey. Was it Timothy?
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey. Supposed to be getting busy.
Shit, even my man Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans was doing his thing before Breeze came back.
Quarterback?
Yeah. Breeze was out.
Uh-huh.
He went, what, 5-0 before Breeze came back?
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? He was killing it. He from Miami, too.
And they took him out, put Breeze back in.
You know, the Breeze is the franchise.
Right,
so,
I guess so.
Yeah, but it do raise your stock in case you know want to shake a move.
Right,
You know what I'm saying?
To leverage that.
And bust another move somewhere.
Right.
You know?
That's what's up.
So, you know, so this is a season where that is becoming big in the conversation, which is, you know, pretty interesting.
Mm.
Right up.
So
next on our list of...
Well, I got somebody
who you got?
Shifted the light, got in the... I'm going to put Chappelle on that list. You know, okay. he definitely...
You think this year was the year?
I think that this Sticks and Stones special was like a culmination of like a flurry of, I think he brought a lot of attention back to stand-up. Not that there wasn't, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think that was his sixth special in like 2 years or something like that. The Sticks and Stones was probably, you know, maybe the double down on all of them. You know what I mean? Like the most... If you want to say abrasive or polarizer or the most comedy, we're going to really, whether you liked it or not, I thought that it was an exercise in making space for all types of commentary.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like not really yielding to the PC culture of it all. You know what I mean? Comedians are meant to kind of be provocative and to kind of, you know, make you think a little bit or take you out of your comfort zone or challenge your views or stuff like that, or at least introducing the conversation. I think sometimes, you know, there's so many stakes at hand. You know, somebody, Chappelle, is so established just in a, you know, just catalog and output. You know, in his whole career, plus financially good for him to really still go out there in the midst of this whole cancel culture wave and say, fuck it. You know, It was a rally call to other cats saying, nah, man, don't yield to your expression, especially if it's never meant to offend. If you're not doing it for shock value or doing, it's not hate speech. You know, it's just like, yeah, let's expand the thought. Let's knock down some of these conventions. Let's knock down some of these philosophies that we define ourselves by. You know right. what I'm saying? So I think that that opened the wave to just a stream of a lot more comedy, you know, and you know, just the comedy space has been doing well and podcasting and everything. But I do feel like he definitely opened that door to where it was way more conversation about what can you say, what can't you say. And,
no,
you
he know, did. He so. Did carry that on his shoulders.
Yeah. So
you know what I'm saying? That, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's big.
Yeah.
To carry the conversation on mm-hmm. your shoulder. Yeah. On your own, by yourself.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, maybe not by yourself. There's other people out there, but he was definitely he was definitely like, yeah, you might be right on that. I mean, he declared, he said, yo, fuck it,
yeah,
I'm here.
I'm going to take this big platform.
Right.
And I'm going to dedicate this whole platform, this show.
Right.
To putting that conversation on my shoulders.
Right. I don't want it to be safe.
I done got all my money back. Mm-hmm. I'm at the top of my game. You know what I'm saying? Ain't much you could do at this point.
No.
You know what I mean?
You clicked on my face.
You know what I'm saying? If you cancel me now, I'm still straight.
Right.
But I'm going to say this, and I'm gonna tell it to you straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which made people think.
Yeah. And, to your point, I didn't think about it, but, you know, you saying, well, I also had, I don't know if it was as big, but Courtney Kemp. For better or worse,
okay.
She had motherfuckers.
So we putting that in as a shifter of the conversation.
I felt like there was a good portion of, especially this podcast, but there was a good portion of the year that was dedicated to unpacking what happened this Sunday.
No doubt
on Power, whether we were happy or pleased or whatever. Power was like everybody's team. Mm-hmm. For a minute, you know, you hope for the best, you almost expect the worst, you know what I'm saying? But you're there for it all. You throughout, right. And they stretching this fucking finale season like Coke, like no they're a little mid season finale to get this type of Who Shot JR type of energy, mm-hmm. And it may not. We'll see how sustainable it is. We'll see who comes back, but just the fact that at the end of whatever you saw. You still had a few minutes to say, all right, let me hear what she got to say about this. Let me hear what her recap. Let me see what her thoughts were. So I put her in there. To your point, I didn't think about it, but to your point, I mean, fucking Kanye is come on, man. He
drove conversation for a strong, you know what I'm saying, 5-6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking strong. I mean, he changed his whole fucking shit. But, you know what I'm saying? I do have him in another category.
Okay.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, let's keep going.
But he did drive conversation in a certain way for a good part of this year.
Man, Kanye is probably one of the leading causes of, like, conflict. Like, I feel I'm kind of, like, fed up with some of the movements or like just frustrated at times. There's still moments where you like, yo, this cat is one of the most brilliant artists that we've seen in the last 20 years. And that is almost like that's the saving grace. It's the, like, you still.
And you're talking about as far as the music.
You know, you gotta extend it. The music is the base of it all. The music was Kick the Door.
Did you fuck with this album?
I didn't, you know what it is? This is the thing. This is the part of the shit where it's like, I'm so kind of upset with this whole shit, all of this shit that's going on. I can't even think of all of the shenanigans because it's just so many now, right? So I was kind of put off by a lot of the shenanigans that when I listened to the album, I was biased. I couldn't give it a good ear. You know what I mean? I'm listening to that shit with a scowl.
Right.
And like I said, when we talked about it, I think that lyrically he's not at his best, but he's still a hell of a producer. Gospel is definitely a genre that can easily trigger you emotionally. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got these angelic voices. You're talking about the Lord, or you're talking about redemption. You're talking about hope. You know what I mean? And he's a hell of a producer. So there's some records on there where, like, you're starting to hear them repurpose. I think Pusha T just rapped over one of the joints, and you're just like, damn, that beat is crazy. Like, you still remember, this nigga's still a hell of a producer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I find myself going back to a lot of the shit. Like, and I'll pull a record from here, pull a record from there. Them records haven't been dope probably for the last 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But still got 1-2. It's like, you know.
He got enough little razzmatazz to be like, okay, he's still. But, you know, project-wise, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But as a performance artist,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, blending reality and entertainment and keeping people's attention.
He's a fucking genius with
that
shit.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, he got great help. You know,
yeah, I'm sure.
His mother-in-law is the G, the O, triple OG of Blurred Lines.
OPT Barnum herself.
You know what I'm saying? PT Barnum in Calabasas.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? They run a great program in that respect. But we'll talk about that in another category.
We'll take us down the field, brother. What
all
you
right,
got?
So next up, we're going to look at, you know, in the conversations, cultural moments of 2019.
Ooh-wee!
You know what I'm saying? Big moments that you know what I'm saying, that brought everybody in.
Okay.
That not only was something to look at and behold, mm-hmm. but was something to get involved with, or mm-hmm. something with lasting effects.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Okay. I got a couple.
What you got?
I gotta say it. That chicken sandwich from Popeyes brought a lot of brought a lot of electricity, a lot of energy to the culture, to the people. It was a lot
it had
of
long lasting effects of heart attacks and hypertension.
You know, yeah, the old Popeye's goodbye, you know. But sadly, it was like, damn, we still this susceptible to the chicken craze. But it was a moment where everybody, man, I even shot a review. I didn't put it up, but everybody was sitting somewhere with a camera,
mm-hmm.
Taking a bite out of this chicken sandwich to see if it lived up to the hype, to the enthusiasm out there. Some right. felt it did, some felt it didn't, but it was definitely a hell of a conversation. So much so then, you know, Popeyes, you see it became a venue for fights, for performances, you know what I mean? Like, it was, I seen somebody.
I mean, that's not new.
It's every not time. New, but it was, you know, it was like a legacy artist putting out a hit single, and you like, oh, right, I forgot. You know what I mean? Right. It's like when Fat Joe put out All the Way Up. You're right. Like, right, this nigga got another one.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So Popeyes, who was already a hallmark in the hood, you know what I mean? It was somebody, you know, you may not wholly embrace, you know what I'm saying? You might go there on the low, you might, you know what I mean? But if somebody that was a constant.
But you can't deny it.
You cannot deny.
I mean, you could feel how you want about the customer service.
Yeah.
You could feel how you want.
Customer service.
About the, you know what I'm saying, the clientele. You could feel like how you want about the activities that Fiends. Surround your local Popeyes establishment.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't deny the smell that permeates the neighborhood around
mm-hmm.
the establishment, that draws you in from three blocks away. Like, mm-hmm. damn, you had the red light three blocks away, and you're like, God,
mm-hmm.
I know I shouldn't be stopping at this Popeye's.
I shouldn't do it.
I know I shouldn't even be.
And the line's
this
always
Popeye.
Long enough for you to turn around, but you don't.
You don't.
You don't.
You don't, because once you get closer and it gets stronger,
what the fuck am I doing?
You start to fucking smell the little butter biscuits.
I gotta get a biscuit.
You like, you know what?
Damn, I'm getting a
fuck
biscuit.
Fuck it, let me get a two-piece.
Two-piece.
Which turns into a six-piece.
Ooh.
Which turns into, you know what? Fuck it.
How long I gotta wait for spicy? All right.
You know what I mean?
I'll wait.
Because, you know, it's good.
Yeah,
shit.
It's great. All right? It's great.
You know what I mean?
It's great. Okay. It is the thing.
Okay.
And they came out with another hit. They came out with a banger.
But which also speaks to, even with the banger that the Popeye's chicken sandwich was, it also speaks to the cultural relevance of old Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A withstood all them blows and didn't move a notch. You know, everybody came with the slander. Popeye's had the ad campaign.
Right.
We open on Sundays. Chick-fil-A didn't slide one bit in the to the left or the right, man. They stayed consistent as they do.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? They customer service still reigns supreme.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They chicken is what it is, you know, but you know what it is.
Well, let me ask
it's
you.
It's good enough to be good, okay. But not, you know what I'm saying, not great.
Okay.
But it definitely ain't whack.
No, not so, whack at all.
You know what I'm saying? Especially with the little sauces they got, you could dress it up a little bit.
No limit on the sauces either. Please know, no limit. They give you every sauce you want.
You know
they not stingy.
So, and they move their line. Even
homophobic,
if the line long,
yes, but not stingy.
I mean, keep going. You know, that's you got to talk to the people at the top. You know what I'm saying?
Now you got to talk to the
you
people
do.
At
you
got
to talk to the people at the top. I'm
it's
sure,
above me.
I'm sure the motherfucker at the cash register might not be homophobic.
Of course,
you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker cooking. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, you know. It's like you got to talk to the top of the people at the establishment when you want to talk about issues and who
they
support.
I think they slowing down on it, though. I heard they kind of redirecting. They kind of getting back.
Yeah, because they want to grow.
They want to get
they
money.
Expanding. You know what I'm saying? They're going to open up a bunch in New York.
Well, let me ask you this, because I somewhat agree with you on Chick-fil-A. Now, if we would have used the analogy Nike, Adidas, Pepsi, Coke. Mm-hmm. Who's Popeyes and who's Chick-fil-A in that equation?
Popeyes is definitely Pepsi.
Oh. Popeyes is Pepsi?
And motherfucking Chick-fil-A is Coke.
What? So wait. So Chick-fil-A is Nike and Popeyes is Adidas?
Most definitely.
Whoa. Commenters, please let me know, is he wildin' or
no, but
is this...
But see, here go the thing, as far as my perspective, right?
This is how we walk into 2020?
Yeah, exactly. Coke was more highbrow, high class, you know what I'm saying, less sweet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you in the hood, Pepsi is the sweet. You know what I'm saying? It's the hood's favorite.
Don't touch my Pepsi.
Yeah, Pepsi is different than Coke. You know what I'm saying? Coke, and from my perspective, leaned more highbrow. Pepsi leaned more, we for the hood.
I was talking more like esteem market shit. So if we going back, okay, so I could dig the Pepsi-Coke analogy. Mm-hmm. If we go in Nike Adidas, you still feeling as though Chick-fil-A is the Nike of the chicken game and Popeyes is the Adidas?
That's not a fair assessment, man. Because in certain ways, Chick-fil-A is the Nike because their branding is on point. You know what I'm saying? You know what you're getting. You know you're going to get, you know what I'm saying? You know you're going to get quality shit, right? But then Popeye is flavorful. It got all the flavors. You know what I'm saying? You know you good. You know? So I don't know how to break that down in the shoe world.
Like, I feel like Popeye's is everywhere. I feel like it's a little bit more, what's the word? It's permeated.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the culture, but it's permeated.
It's not
even,
everywhere.
It's in my mind, it's more everywhere than Chick-fil-A is.
Because you from New York. You be everywhere where you be.
No.
You don't be in the other communities. It ain't
right.
Matt, is Popeye's in Connecticut?
Yes.
I think more so than Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
It's like they're both pretty rare up north.
No, I mean, Chick-fil-A is very much smaller, yes, of course.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because they're just not branching out. But I'm just saying. I'm saying as far as branding, marketing, and, you know, brand association. It feels more quality.
This is the thing that I get, and we talked about it before. Like, I think Chick-fil-A gets a lot of love for their infrastructure and for the fact that it is consumer-friendly and the fact that it's consistent. It's not whack. But If we was go head to head just on some old, in my mind, just chicken joint chicken, fast mm-hmm. food chicken, taste wise, I think Popeye's is smashing Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A, what gets Chick-fil-A outside of all that infrastructure, that good customer service, mm-hmm. is the waffle fries, that good ass lemonade, and the fact that it's unlimited sauces. Cause okay. But if we going chicken but, on chicken?
No, no. Chicken on chicken is a different thing than establishment. Establishment.
Like, if I'm hungry.
I think Nike would be insulted that you compared them to what goes on inside of a Popeyes.
Maybe, but I don't know. I think Nike you know understands that shit. We are fully you know in the community.
They not fully in the community. Nike don't give out a Nike license to everybody to sell them joints. You got to have your shit together.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
credit
I
together.
See, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I
all
see
that.
You going more for the.
Yeah, I was going total brand.
I could dig it.
But,
right.
You know, I get it.
Well, y'all.
Popeyes is for the people.
Let yes. us know what y'all think in the comments. This is still up for debate. So let us know what you think. Where you rank Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A? And obviously, if we leaving anybody out, obviously, you know, honorable mention Bojangles, churches, and all these other cats.
Hey, man, I'm leaving both of them for Bojangles in the airport.
Oh yeah, well, look,
In the morning with an egg on the top of it.
I can't. A lot of people.
That's just
feel
a different
that
option. That's a different
a lot
option.
Of people feel that way. Shout out to my man Roy Wood Jr. He's got a series called The Coalition mm-hmm. that's based on this whole The Chicken Wars.
Okay.
It's funny as shit.
Fan you, brother.
Absolutely. All right, so what's the next one? Where we going next?
2019 cultural moments.
I mean,
that's what we're doing. But I didn't tell mine.
Oh, go ahead, brother, my bad.
I mean, the biggest cultural moment that I saw is Nipsey Hussle.
Oh shit, yes.
You know what I'm saying? The death of Nipsey. Actually, the rise and death of Nipsey all in
the transformation.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, he got nominated for the Grammy. He was, you know, at the Grammys, victory lap started to blow up. At
victory
the top of the
slap.
Year. You know what I'm saying? That was last year BET Awards.
Oh, that was a BET Awards?
Yeah,
slap?
That was 2018 or 17
fair
even.
Fair
but 2019, he was, you know, attended the Grammys, you know, the GQ spread came out with him and Lauren.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You started to really see them come back together as a couple. Uh-huh. You know, victory lap started to take off. People started to, you know, talk more about him. And then all of a sudden, he was gone. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that in itself just brought a whole nother awareness of him as a rapper, but yeah. also him as somebody in the community. And brought the light to what he was doing as a business person, as a visionary, as far as, you know, doing things in the hood that don't normally happen. You know what I'm saying? And I think he set a blueprint that people are starting to follow, people are paid attention to, and are starting to implement in different ways. You know what I'm saying? What's the cat who worked with him? David Gross is, you know, he going to different cities with different rappers trying to recreate, you know, what they created in L.A.
Who was David Gross?
David Gross was his partner in Vector 90 in the development of that shopping plaza. The guy who was kind of like the, you know, the business financial mind of making those development things work.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think I've seen pictures with him. I think when Nipsey got shot, he was actually in Atlanta with T.I. trying to set up, you know what I'm saying, a wave with T.I. So I think it made rappers think a little differently about legacy and what they could do. You know what I'm saying? Give motherfuckers different options of what to do.
Ownership.
It's like just like when Russell Simmons came, right?
Right.
And Russell Simmons started Fat Farm, and you know what I'm saying? I could do a fashion line and I could mess with models and shit. You know what I'm saying? A lot of rappers felt like, shit, I could make a fashion line and I could mess with models and shit. You know what I'm saying? So you got, you know what I'm saying, Rockaware, and you got, you know what I'm saying, all these things. Then Dame Dash came and took it further. I could do this Armadale and I got a liquor and shit. You know what I'm saying? So then that expanded what rappers felt like they could do. I think what Nipsey did and in his death and the, you know, the media storm that happened after his death, mm-hmm. it gives rappers another formula to follow that right. is a lot more constructive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Beneficial to the neighborhoods where they come from, which 9 times out of 10, if you came from the hood in America, it's being gentrified at this point. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's an important thing that happened. That's why it's like in the cultural moments, it's like not just that it happened and people paid attention to it. It's the what's the long-lasting implications of that happening. Right. And I think with Nipsey, there's a lot of implications that come along with it.
Yeah. He definitely laid down like a philosophy and, you know, like a blueprint for, yeah, definitely for people, something more to consider, you know? So, yeah. That was a huge moment. When exactly was that, March or February?
He died the last day of March.
Wow. I remember I was on my way to a show, and I remember just how quick the news played out. Like, initially, I might have got it either via text or Twitter, a combination of both, but it was like, yo, he got shot. And I'm on my way to the show, and here he got shot. Then by the time I'm pulling up to the show, he was dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. it unraveled just that fast. I was like, damn. And I remember that. You know, that shit was, it was devastating because it was such a, I think we had even talked about him maybe a couple weeks prior.
Mm-hmm.
But I always looked at him like, you know, I saw him as, and I guess it reduces it now in life, but I was like, he's like a Malcolm Gladwell of hip hop in the way that, like, because you see he was reading a lot of those books, he was applying a lot of those big ideas mm-hmm. to the culture, you know what I mean? Just to challenge the way that shit is presented, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he was always forward thinking, but at the same time, seemed to be very much selfless with the knowledge. If you got to be in his circle, he gonna build with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to keep the information or the tactics to himself. So, which also, you know, which is also beautiful in death. You know what I mean? It's right. Selfless nature. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. And that was definitely shook up the game.
Right.
Definitely shook up the game.
Word up.
So
which brings us to, you know what I'm saying, something, you know, this is a D Lemon inspired category.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We're gonna look at, you know, this is the regular award. You know what I'm saying? This is shit that didn't live up to the hype. That was, you know what I'm saying, less than what was expected.
Oh,
it was regular.
It was regular. I don't even know what I'm gonna throw in there. I got power so far.
Man, you just had it as a cultural touchstone.
I said she was shifting the conversation
right.
to where at least we want to hear what she said, because I felt like whether at the end of the middle of the season,
mm-hmm.
you know, you feel disenchanted or feel, you know, upset or still locked in,
mm-hmm.
she held your attention, Courtney, mm-hmm. held your attention. But at the same time, I couldn't really, because I'm trying, you know, as we moving towards 2020, I'm trying to look for the best in life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to go away from, you know, looking at the worst.
The worst?
Yeah.
But, you know, some shit didn't.
Some shit.
All right, I'll give you one.
Well, go ahead. Give me one, because I got.
Motherfucking final season of Game of Thrones. Okay?
Oh.
Okay?
Wow. All right?
You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Talk to me.
It was regular.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? We've talked about it on this show. We've ran through it. We, you know what I'm saying? We broke down each episode. And then, you know, you get to the end, and it's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, the fight with the whole shit was, the winter was coming.
Right.
And, you know, the fight with the unliving and the motherfucking living.
Right.
And you get to the fight, and the shit was some bullshit.
Damn.
And then, you know what I'm saying, the whole shit, motherfucking White Walker of all the baddest motherfucker on the dead side of the land gets killed by Lil Arya Stark with just one jab to the... You know what I'm saying?
That was it.
Just like she jumped out a tree and shit. Like, where the fuck was she jumping from? You know what I'm saying?
Many questions.
Yeah, it's like so many questions. Like, you know, John Stark did not a motherfucking thing the whole battle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. See,
It was.
I hear that in the world.
You know, they got lazy. You know what I'm saying? And see, what happens, see, this is a note that you gotta understand, people. You know what I'm saying? You can't get lazy on nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're working two jobs and you got your side hustle and shit, mm-hmm. you can't get lazy on none of them.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because the energy you put in one gonna transfer to the other. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've done it. I'm like, yeah, I'm out this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to be here much longer. I don't really care. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm going to sleep in a little later. I'm going to go in a little later. I'm going to leave a little earlier and shit. And then
these motherfuckers lucky to have me.
Exactly. Then you start working on your new shit. That same energy carry over.
Right.
So now you're doing that shit. You're moving in a little. You're waking up a little later. So you're starting later on your job and your side hustle. You know what I'm saying? So now neither one of them is working as good as it should.
Old circle, man.
You know what I'm saying? So with these motherfuckers, they took their motherfucking break and sped through the goddamn Game of Thrones last season. Then they get over to Star Wars and couldn't finish the job.
Oh, is that what happened?
Didn't they quit the Star Wars shit? They quit. They had to disband. They no longer working on the next project they was working on.
The people from Game of Thrones.
The two head writers from the Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's why they
yeah, they took that badass energy over there to their next project. Damn. Thinking they was, you know what I'm saying, I'm off this shit, I'm on some new shit, got some new money, them paid me more over here. Fuck that shit. You know what I'm saying? Now they done took that old badass energy over there to where they was going next. And that shit ain't work out. See how that work?
Look at that.
You know what I'm saying? Take note. 2020, don't do that shit.
Don't bring that new bullshit.
You got old shit, put that same energy on both shits.
Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks.
You know what I'm saying? You can't shake yourself. Yeah. You can't be halfway on one side of yourself and then 200 on the other.
Ain't no half stepping.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my regular moment.
I like it, man. That's good. I like that. What we got next?
Next up, movie of the year.
Wow, this is a tough one.
I mean, you've watched a lot of movies.
I watch a lot of movies.
And when we talk about
movies,
when we talk about movie of the year, as it concerns me, it's gonna be the movies that I saw.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
It's all good.
Not movies, in general.
I feel like I'm gonna take this as a personal victory. I feel like you may have watched more movies this year than you did last year. Maybe by one, but I feel like we have so much movie discussion that maybe there's more movies being watched. But I could be wrong.
I watch what my kids watch. See, that's right. The movies that I end up seeing is the ones that my kids want to see.
Right.
Because you got to take them. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't get as much. Maybe it wasn't as many of those movies this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But what you got on your list?
On my list, I have... It's interesting because these movies that I got on the list, maybe one of them I've watched twice. I like Dolomite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't rewatched it though, but I like Dolomite a lot. I'm a fucking Eddie Murphy fan, so I'm super biased. I think Eddie Murphy could do anything. Mm-hmm. He was dope. I got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on the list. I watched that more than once.
Right. I really wanted to see that. That's the one I
thought you saw it.
I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I like that. I got The Irishman on the list.
Mm-hmm.
The Irishman almost made it's regular, but I couldn't do that to Scorsese, Pacino, De Niro, and Pesci. Because it's not regular, but it was like...
It ended regular.
I got to watch it again, but it's three and a half hours, so it's kind of tough for me to watch it again. I gave high praise at the top of the year for Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to watch it through again. I haven't gotten all the way through it the second time. I still think it's good. I recently watched Marriage Story on Netflix. I will say Netflix... Netflix did some shit this year. They really got in the conversation. I liked Marriage Story a lot.
What was your favorite shit this year?
Oh, man.
In the movie category.
My favorite shit this year. Damn. Wow. Shit. Yeah. Give me that. Give me that. Joker was decent, too. I know. Fuck.
Choose a movie.
I know, right?
Shit.
Oh, shit, man. I'm going to go with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood only because I see the shit more than once. Mm-hmm. Dolomite was very close. I got to rewatch it. Mm-hmm. It was some good ass performances in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, man. I enjoyed it.
See, all right, I get you. See, Dolomite was the most entertaining movie to me because it was relative to my upbringing. It was you know what I'm saying, it was important to where I grew up and the people I grew up around.
Right.
My dad, we walking around reciting the signifying monkey, you know what I'm saying? That era of black doesn't get a lot of burn in today's society. You know what I'm saying? Classic black. Yeah, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Not a lot of people, if you weren't in it, you might not get it. It's like when Dolomite came out and I was around some young people, they didn't understand they was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, they didn't get it. But if you knew that era, that was classic shit. You know what I'm saying? So Dolomite is definitely in there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of my other shit is kind of mainstream-ish.
Go ahead. So Dolomite is your movie?
Dolomite is my cultural movie. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, don't, we got to put no signifiers on it. It's your movie.
I got a collection of movies out here.
Nah, but you
got
to pick one. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, motherfucker, you ain't picked none.
I picked one, nigga.
You barely.
I did, though. But go ahead with your other movies. Do your other movies, and then you're going to determine one. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, I watch movies with the kids.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, I got to put the Avengers Endgame shit in there.
Okay. Yo, I've yet to see that. Did I see that shit?
Like, that moved the needle. Like, people talking about
that. See, that shit, that's like three hours too, right?
I don't know. It was that's good.
I haven't watched.
You know what I'm saying? The end game.
I'll be honest with you. Them shits don't resonate with me, but go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I think the sleeper of the year, you know what I'm saying, that I fucked with, you know what I'm saying? I ain't watched it more than once, but I don't really watch anything more than once. It's Us.
Wow!
I think it's
sleeper.
It's a sleeper.
Really?
Like, I don't think people. I don't hear people talking
about it. Tell me why.
I just think he went out on the limb. He did something interesting.
Uh-huh.
He did something unexpected. It made you really think about. You know what I'm saying? I'm a quantum physics type of motherfucker
I can't explain quantum physics to people and me.
You know what I'm saying? How you a quantum physics type of motherfucker? Like, that's the whole point of quantum physics.
It's not explaining it?
It's unexplainable sometimes. It's not like all the shit that we think we know. When you really get down to the quantum level, that shit don't add up.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
You know what I'm saying? In quantum physics, did you know that an atom can be in two places at one time?
I didn't even know.
See? You know what I'm saying? See how you might feel like you were somewhere else and shit? Some deja vu shit? Yeah, that quantum shit is deep when you get to your atomic level.
Uh-oh.
You see what I'm saying?
When you get to the atomic level.
Yeah, so, you know.
All right, but go ahead.
So when you're looking at Us and you got the flip side of the life and shit, you know what I'm saying, an alternate reality to yourself and shit, you might have a parallel universe, all that type shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think it covered that in a way that was interesting. You know what I'm saying? It gave us black characters in a way that you really don't get to see them and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, doing, you know, summering and shit.
Right.
On the vacation.
Right.
Doing summer shit. Uh-huh. Like, we don't really get to do recreation.
Right.
In media. Right. And in real life a lot of times and shit. But, you know what I'm saying? We really don't get that R&R look in media. So, I appreciated that. You know what I'm saying? And then I just appreciated the storyline. And again, it wasn't the most something that just made me think, you know, my introspective as, you know what I'm saying, artsy shit. But it was something I enjoyed as entertainment. You know what I mean?
Nah, it was good. I started rewatching it. I ain't get all the way through it. I'll say one thing that I do like about it. The cinematography was crazy. Just the shot, especially shit on like on the beach.
Right.
You know what I mean? With the, you know, all of that type of the colors and shit like that. Yeah, it was tough. I got to watch it again. I think I came in there with super high expectations because everybody's coming off of he came off the success of Get Out. So you figuring, uh-oh, this going to be another one of those type of things.
Right.
And not to say that it wasn't, but it might not have been as straight down the line as Get Out was. This was a little bit more interpretive. You had to figure out some things. But back to you.
So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I got that in there. Definitely, I got Joker up there. But I'm gonna still hang on Dolemite as a, you know what I'm saying, 70s baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cat who would listen to Dolemite and Aunt Esther, whatever her real name is, and Rudy Ray Moore, or not Dolemite. And what the fuck? My man from Miami. Red Fox too.
Miami.
Yeah.
What's this shit about?
Nasty Talk, just like Dolemite.
Blowfly. Okay.
God damn, how the fuck I forget Blowfly? Blowfly from Miami.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then, of course, how 2 Live Crew repurposed those comedians in their music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I grew up with that. So, yeah, I love to see his backstory. I didn't really know his backstory.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That shit was good.
I just thought he was, you know what I'm saying, he just came out and that's what he did and got popping from doing that.
Yeah.
I fuck with Dolemite. I give it my movie of the year.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Eddie, man. I think he's going to get nominated for an Oscar.
No doubt. And then next up, we got TV moments.
Ooh. Okay.
I know you watch more TV than me.
Yeah, I got a couple seasons that I wanted to put into a conversation. I think most of these you've been involved with. Power. Snowfall.
Damn.
Succession. I think we're missing something else, but those.
Yeah. You hit it, dog.
Some of the chief ones that we definitely have some talks about at this table.
Yeah.
I think those are, Watchmen aside, I haven't gotten all the way into it. You ain't really get into that. I didn't get into Game of Thrones. You already said it was regular. I can't.
I mean, it had moments, but it was regular.
Yeah. There's probably some other shit that's, you know what I mean? Shout out to Barry. There's probably some other shit, but those three, Power, Snowfall, Succession.
Yeah.
Really did some,
yeah.
They put in work this year. If you had to pick.
I already know mine.
Well, let the people know. I think I know where you're going. What you got?
I got Snowfall. You know what I'm saying? Mel getting on crack.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying? Just showing how you didn't know what the real effects of crack were until they hit you.
Right.
And then when they hit you, it was way too late and the person was way too gone. Yeah. It was way personal for me because I've known people who, you know what I'm saying, that you know and love. And that was like, you know, upstanding members of the community that once the crack hit and it got to them, it was over.
Right.
Rap City,
right?
Like they turned into a monster, like a crackhead, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A fiend, you know what I'm saying? And you know, when that person that you know and love is walking down the street as a fiend, that feeling, you know what I'm saying? That has never been talked about.
It's like The Walking Dead.
You know what I'm saying? Don't, like rap music, they, you know, they glorify, you know, selling dope and getting money. You know what I'm saying? They might talk a little bit about it.
Sally's got a one-track mind.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I haven't seen it portrayed in the way that just struck you like that because you've been invested in that character over a couple seasons as the good girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A lot of promise. Even though she's shown signs, like they gave you hints that it could go.
Right.
But you never knew it would go that way. Like, that's all the way. That's like, God damn. Yeah, she might be a good girl going rogue. You know what I'm saying? She might sneak next door and, you know what I'm saying, get some, you know, man, get some, you know, get some get good and all that. But
some get good. That's hilarious. That's a funny ass euphemism. Get some get good.
You know what I mean? Okay. But you never, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is it crackhead? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Leon, and he had went through it with his girl, so he knew what it was. And for him to throw it back on Franklin, like, man, go get your girl.
Right.
That shit was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I haven't been emotionally invested in like real life emotions in a show in a very long time. I don't even know the last time. I can't even recall. You know what I'm saying? Usually it's just some shit to watch. And yeah, all right, cool. That was entertaining. Like, Power is entertaining,
right,
but you're not emotionally invested.
You don't give a fuck about Tariq.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well, Tariq just good to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Kanan is Kanan. You know what I mean? But like this shit right here was like, ooh.
Yeah, you felt bad for Mal.
I wanted to smoke a cigarette.
I felt bad for Wanda too. People ain't feel as bad for Wanda. They felt like she deserved it.
Well, because they didn't set Wanda up like that.
Nah,
they brought Wanda in as almost like a burden from the beginning. Like,
yeah,
keep your girl out of the crack house, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you didn't get as invested. But, yeah, it did happen to Wandas. And it did happen to people in your community that you felt like, oh, yeah, that's pretty much what they was going to do anyway.
Yeah.
That's right up their alley. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then it was people you like, God damn, for real?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think by them showing the, you know what I'm saying, the range of it,
mm-hmm,
it's brilliant. You know what I'm saying? You talk about genius level artistry, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to black life and black portrayal, they were doing some genius level shit within that series. And I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta agree with you. I'm going Snowfall too. Succession was good though.
Yeah, that was good for the, you know what I'm saying, for the other side, the behind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I call that the behind the hedges. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely behind the hedges.
You know what I mean? That life you don't really know about.
Yeah.
You ride past the mansions and all you see is the hedges.
Right.
This is what goes on behind.
This is
like
the shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was fucked up. Rich people on some bullshit.
Yeah.
Being petty. But
well, they had their own little issues and turmoil. You know what I'm saying? You hate to see old boy be on the drugs.
Yeah, I mean, it was legitimate shit, but it was a lot of pettiness as well. And it was, you know, it was good to see that even with all that money, it's still the bullshit. It could get there.
The bullshit is among us.
But yeah, man, Snowfall was great. You know, it was a good story. Definitely brought you in with Mel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cinematography was so dope. Just the scoring was really cool. Like that one moment where they got the Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves the Sunshine, playing while she's getting high. That whole little
going through her zoo.
That shit was fire. That last finale episode where all of that shit was going on, the little John Singleton type tribute that went on. It was a really good, it was a hell of a good fucking show. And I think, and I mean, it set it up for, like, I want to know what else is going to come down. You know, like, it showed there's real casualties in this shit. Mel and Franklin.
But it's so crazy that John Singleton is gone.
Right.
Same year as Nipsey.
Right.
John Singleton is who put South Central on the map.
Right, absolutely.
You know
we said this, yeah.
You know what I mean? And the Crenshaw shirt came from the Boys in the Hood that Nipsey uses in his store.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like both of them died this same year. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that shit is wild. It was wild. It was a definitely loss for L.A. But they're going to be all right. They're going to pull from it. You know, I always said, and I said this when Trump got elected, you know, bad times make some of the best art. And we've been seeing some good shit, so, you know. Not that we're saying we need to be staying in these bad times.
State of bad time perpetually.
Yeah.
All right, which brings us to our last.
Our last and final.
And, you know what I'm saying? Latest and the greatest.
Okay, come on.
Award. You know what I'm saying? This is an award that has been, you know what I'm saying, cultivated on this show through various conversations.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a concept that we hold near and dear, at least I do, to my heart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It is a celebration of optimism, right, and you know what I'm saying, forward motion, the realization of dreams, and you know what I'm saying, the culmination of dreams in action together.
Shit.
This is the Upness Award.
Ooh-wee.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Upness Award.
Who you got?
You know what I'm saying?
Who is
I got one real person that I've watched it, like, their come up, culminate this year.
Okay.
And then I have some commentary that's speculative.
Okay. As to why?
About Kanye. Why Kanye should be considered
the up
for this Upness Award. As a runner up, as a, you know what I'm saying? As a, you know what I'm saying, next man.
Okay.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Who you got? Do you have somebody?
I got two people. My shit is quick because yours feel like it's a little bit more expansive. It's just really just the feeling, just watching it. I don't really have a whole lot of spiel for both of these people.
Mm-hmm.
One is from what I see, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them, what I see, I ain't really experienced either, but from what I see, I'm like, okay, to your point, it's a culmination.
Mm-hmm.
And two is kind of somebody taking advantage of momentum, mm-hmm, and really shifting that bitch. You know what I mean? So first, Tyler Perry.
Okay.
And Tyler Perry, a good up award for the fact that man just cracked that whole studio open. And
yes, sir.
He got, you know, he got the black intelligentsia, the Negro musician, mm-hmm, and performers, and, you know, many more, the shiny,
mm-hmm,
in the building, you know what I mean? To celebrate what could be,
right,
what you can manifest. I think he was the king of manifestation this year.
Yeah, I mean, and he's the guy that took it from the lowest of brow.
Right, right.
And, you know, you had the people that talked the most shit about him.
Right.
You know, a la Spike Lee.
Right.
Who called him a coon.
Right.
For,
right,
crying out loud.
Coon!
You know what I'm saying? And then he just turned that shit around gracefully, put Spike Lee's name on, mm-hmm, the motherfucking soundstage.
On the stage.
Guess who there?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Spike's there. Uh-huh. Jay-Z's there. You know Jay-Z wasn't fucking with no Tyler Perry. Right, right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like he turned the whole game all the way around.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now you got it. You got to say, you know what? All right. Okay, I see what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Which is humble pie.
And this is as up as you get.
This is up as you get when motherfuckers got to reckon with your whole philosophy,
yeah,
when they've discarded your whole existence.
Mm.
So there go one. Two, the baby.
Yeah.
I see the baby out here really making the most of this moment, man. He's out here being the people's champ, whether it's, you know, being in the streets knocking niggas out in Louis Vuitton or, you know, FaceTime.
Or anywhere else.
Yeah. FaceTiming the show from the plane because he can't get to the venue. I just see a cat that's like, he sees an opening and he's putting himself in that conversation, putting himself out there, two albums in 1 year,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, smiling the whole way through, you know what I'm saying? Like, just, he, you know, like, that motherfucker, you see him.
Yeah.
He moving for
it. He campaigning.
He campaigning. So, shout out to the baby. Those are
showing
two
different sides of himself, you know what I'm saying? He did the, you know, shit for his daddy.
Right.
But then he come and did the shit with the dancing and the choreography and shit.
Right.
It's like, he was, you know, I've seen people say on his Saturday Night Live performance was the
most
fun.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it. I heard it was all that.
A motherfucker had on Saturday Night Live since whenever.
Wow.
You know,
yeah,
what
I got to watch. I heard about it. I heard it's good.
Right up.
All right, who you got? What you got?
Oh, my Upness Award goes to Lena Waithe.
Her come up this year. Yeah,
is unmatched as far as like the come up that's like reachable. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you see somebody come from the mud and,
right,
then you see them getting it,
right,
she did all. She checked all of the boxes that You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That a nigga want to check.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She had Halle Berry kissing on her, on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh,
you
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Nigga, she, you know what I'm saying? She got pictures with Angela Bassett kissing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? She got pictures with Janet Jackson.
She living every man's dream.
Exactly. She living every man's dream. Riri came to the Queen and Slim.
Right.
Thing. Beyonce was there.
Right.
She living the dream.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She moved. She got the deal with Amazon.
Right.
She dropped 4 or 5 different shows, Queen and Slim.
What's the deal with Amazon? I hear about that.
Yeah, her overall deal, she moved from Showtime to Amazon.
Oh, so is The Shy going to Amazon?
I'm not sure if The Shy is going to Amazon, but she's going to Amazon.
So, about that.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably more bag, you know what I mean?
Right.
She's just having a great year. All this shit is happening this year. So she got, you know, The Shy's out there. She got Boomerang out there. 20s is out there, you know what I'm saying?
Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim drop, which, you know what I mean, I finally got a chance to see.
Okay. You want to discuss?
Yeah, we want to discuss. And so I think, you know, and then she just posted a tweet that she posted in like 2013 or some shit, or 2000, sometime along
some
that
manifestation
time.
Some
manifest
shit.
Manifest shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying? She was like, no, it was actually 2009. And then she was like, in 10 years, I'm going to be running things.
Mm.
And you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying?
Look
for all
that.
Intents and purposes, she running things.
Right.
In her motherfucking world, she running things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And with Queen and Slim, right? So I finally got to see Queen and Slim.
Right.
And I was talking about this today with my homeboy, Sean Peters, who's extraordinary director of photography, who just did the Nike commercial with LeBron.
Okay.
That drop. That's, you know what I'm saying, shooting the kids in Akron and him talking about, you know, the stories of athletes who come from nothing and
right.
turn it into something.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, Sean is very critical on film and stuff because he's of the intelligentsia in my world. And so we were talking about it. And I had never discussed Queen and Slim out loud because I just saw my wife and then we, you know, went and got drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was a great time. So what I loved about Queen and Slim wasn't necessarily the full story and the full execution.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that it brought so many different pieces to the table that can be built and expanded upon. Shit that you haven't seen before. You know what I'm saying? Black culture covered in a way that it hasn't been covered before. Black relationships and dating covered in a way that it hadn't been covered. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the conversations that they were going through, just going through this story, you know what I'm saying, was like, it felt new. You know what I mean? It felt like, damn, I word. You know what I'm saying? That's real shit. And you don't really get to see real shit all the time.
Like what? Give me an example.
Just like, you know what I'm saying? Just like the character who she was as far as like the lawyer, you know what I'm saying? High strung, but come from a traumatic background.
Mm-hmm.
Then the cat that's regular,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? He got a job, you know what I'm saying? He worked blue collar, got his Tims on, shit, he ain't worried about shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to work, go get my food. I ain't tripping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I ain't trying to do all this, but I'm steady. You know what I'm saying? I got an idea of who I am, and this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got no rap sheet. You know what I'm saying? I'm just cool. And that character right there is not always portrayed in the best light in media, in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? That character right there is always 1 foot, you know what I'm saying, away from disaster. Always, even though he was in this case, but it's almost set up that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times. This way, he was chilling. He was good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You need some drama with it. It's hard to get drama when you just even kill.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just cool. So the way that he explained how he wanted his lady to be, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like it spoke to a lot of things that don't get spoken to.
What'd he say?
You know what I'm saying? He was just like, he wants somebody that's going to be there, that's going to hold my hand no matter what.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of niggas want that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really get that all the time. We want somebody, you know, in the media, we get, you know, all kind of expectations that really ain't real a lot of times. So I like the way they handled that. But one of the things I was most impressed about with this shit, which was, you know what I'm saying, tripped out to me, was that the characters were believable to the point where you accepted the shit. You know what I'm saying? So when she went to New Orleans and her uncle was, you know what I'm saying, down there living his life, mm-hmm. his best life, and he had a trans actress as his girl, as his main girl, sitting on his lap.
I didn't realize that.
Exactly. Nobody blinked an eye.
Right.
Because one, you understood the character, the depth of the character, that this nigga wild for the night anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying? You he got three chicks living with him.
Non-traditional.
You know, he non-traditional. He got Gucci this, but he wild.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He talking shit to the police.
Right.
He got, you know what I'm saying? He just a dysfunctional. He dysfunctional in a way that anything is possible mm-hmm. with him. And so when the actress that played his main chick was sitting on his lap, you didn't bat an eye that she was trans. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that has even ever happened before. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I thought it would be of a bigger deal than it was because it was played out so well, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing.
Right.
That opens up a whole another thing right. that can be expounded upon. It's a case study in how to treat black characters in a way that everything is not going to be as criticized as much, because if you put it in the right context, then it works.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did that beautifully. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was some misses in the shit. Like, you know, the little boy going rogue and shooting the police was kind of out of the blue and a little wild for the night. You know what I'm saying? You know, the ending, you know what I'm saying, might be a little tripped out. But again, if you take the pieces of it, I think the pieces of Queen of Slim is more important than the whole body.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because each individual piece of different scenes, like the club, when they was in the club and the back home, you know what I'm saying, the back down in the country-ass club, like, you could take pieces from that and build entire stories out of that.
Right.
The way that they were treated amongst the community in certain places can be expounded upon.
It's like little vignettes.
Yeah, like the relationships, you know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, Lena is beautiful in that way where she covers black culture. It's like when with the Master Nun, we talked about on here, when she had the Thanksgiving episode on Master Nun, I felt like I didn't even have to watch the rest of that damn series. I quit after that because it's like, why am I watching this little Indian guy story when I could be watching some damn black stories? You know what I'm saying? Because once I saw it, it's like, oh, shit. Damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I need to see more of this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then, you know what I mean, what I'm watching. So yeah. I stopped. My last episode on the Netflix stops at the Thanksgiving episode on Master Nun.
There you go.
So I'm giving Lena Waithe the Upness Award for 2019.
Salute. Yeah. Nah, that's a deserving, what do you call that?
When you give accolade.
But what do you call it? Recipient.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what's up. But bullshit.
My runner-up was Kanye West because...
Oh, what was your...
Kanye, I believe, you know what I'm saying, he took a lot of risks this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He took a lot of hits.
Mm-hmm.
He took a lot of risks. He did shit unconventionally. He took his whole show into a space that was the opposite of what he's usually done. Like, he's done some elaborate setups as far as stages and
right.
floating stages, and he's done all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he took this shit to just all the way back to the essence. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get some soul singing, and all we need is some soul singers and some speakers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We can do this shit in the field.
Let's pare it down.
You know what I'm saying? And we're going to wear the most plain-ass, you know what I'm saying, shit ever, and we're just going to do this shit. He took chances, you know, you know, people called him crazy, of course, and he might be. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with a lot of what he say. So I'm not saying this as a fan. I'm just saying this as a spectator of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He made that shit work. People paid attention. People talked about it. People pay more attention to gospel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the culmination of it, of him standing in that picture with him, Pharrell, Puff and Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They looking at him kind of funny. You know what I'm saying? Pharrell has a standoffish pose with his hands in his pocket. you know, of course, Jay-Z is totally disconnected. Mm-hmm. And it might be one of them things where, yes, you know what I'm saying, you might not want to fuck with him, but what you cannot do is ignore the nigga, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And them Yeezys are still selling and his money is still right. So he's still in y'all face and might pass them niggas mm-hmm. in money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to fucking deal with him and respect it. You know what I'm saying? So in that picture, shit, he, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He, you know what I mean? He's still standing right there, even though y'all might feel some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he on your heels and he not to be, you know what I'm saying, discounted. Cause you
gotta consider the philosophy.
You gotta consider it, man, because you gonna have the bread. You're gonna be right there in that beat in that club right next to you.
I heard, I'm not sure how true this is, but it sounds interesting. You know, when he did all of that, when he hit them churches, he made over $1 million touring, but he made sure that he didn't do any Live Nation venues. He went outside the system and still
church. Ate.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just something to, you know, just something to see. You know what I'm saying? Even still operating outside of the system and getting that shit to rock with him. I had one last honorary mention category. Mm-hmm. This is just off the top of the head. Meme of the year. What you got?
Meme of the year for me?
Uh-huh.
There's so many. Them shits come and go so fast. Only one that stick out in my head right now as you say it, since I didn't research this, is Keke Palmer.
Okay.
I don't know this man.
Right.
I'm sorry to say. I have never seen this man before in my life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it was almost the greatest promotion for her new moves that she making, like with the new show and all that shit. It was like, it was right on time. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was her. It wasn't staged and no shit.
Right.
It was just her being her in a black woman's, you know what I'm saying, essence.
Right.
So I fuck with that, but I don't really know, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. I can't remember. We might have to have a full conversation. I thought we did once.
What?
Just about the Keke Palmer transition. Because Keke Palmer been like,
that's your people, ain't it?
Nah, I don't know her. Oh. But I fuck with how she's made some
You weren't
moves.
In the movie with her?
No.
Oh,
not that I can, I mean, no.
I thought that was your love interest in the movie one time.
No.
Who am I thinking of?
Thinking of Tessa Thompson.
Ah, Tessa Thompson. Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, she got some funny shit on the gram, Keke Palmer. She does like a whole little, she got these characters that she does that are like, you know, it's like a performance piece. You know what I'm saying? That kind of, it's like, you know, it's one of these days where you're like, oh, wow, that's another persona this person does. But just that, and that, this was off the top of the head, but I was talking to people. Meme of the Year might not be my favorite, but I feel like it's definitely finished up strong, got a lot of traction, a lot of people been, but that damn cat. And it's funny because I don't even all the way understand the meme of it all, where it came from, but the cat, and I guess those are some housewives, but just that little cross, it's supposed to be this.
Right.
No, it's that. And it's just, yeah, that shit, whatever you use it for, has been, it's been effective. So yeah, I think I'm gonna get at the meme of the year.
And then I guess, you know what I'm saying, I don't know what we got. We ain't got a donkey of the day or whatever, donkey of the year or whatever. I guess we need to come up with our own version of whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to give Tekashi 6ix9ine something.
I guess.
He had a spectacular rise, which was maybe two years
He was the cautionary tale of 2019.
And a spectacular fall.
Yeah.
I mean, 2019, he was failed spectacularly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean,
yeah,
he went out blazing.
Who was more of a cautionary tale, Tekashi or Jussie Smollett?
Tekashi. His ass still in jail. He got real life consequences coming out. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He pissed gangsters off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he might have real bullets. Jussie Smollett invented his own enemy. So he don't really have no enemy.
Oh, man.
Jussie Smollett.
That's true.
The French actor known as Jussie Smollett.
Well, tell these people where you're going to be for the rest of 2019.
For the rest of 2019, I'm going to be in the city of Atlanta, Wakanda, USA, you know, celebrating with family, friends. Right now, I'm with family.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So this was a booking. We finally happy we got you.
Yeah, right now I'm with family.
There you go.
And so I'll be here. I'll be back in the motherfucking lab top of the year. So you can catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad. You can catch me on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad.
I hear that.
Wear it up.
You can catch me everywhere, social media, D Lemon Comedy. If I'm doing any shows, at this point, I'm not booked at the moment, but anything could change. So always checking, you know what I mean, on that social media, and I'll update you. But until then, until 2020, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We are out. Merry Christmas. Actually, you know what? Before I go, before I say Merry Christmas, I do want to say rest in peace to Chris Cotton. I want to say rest in peace to Angelo Lozada. Rest in peace, George Harris. And, you know, yeah, consider, even if you don't celebrate Christmas, the fact that you up and you listening and you living, this is the gift. So live life. And we'll see you in 2020. We out.
Yeah.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.